Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, the editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and we are continuing our series of podcasts featuring the American Development Model, and today we have the great fortune of being joined by Matt Herr, who is the newest regional manager, and Matt is coming to us from the East Coast, where he is very busy getting ready for the start of another hockey season. Hey, Matt, thanks for joining us today.
No problem, Harry.
You know, obviously, those of us who are lifelong hockey fans know the name of Matt Herr from his days of playing in the NHL, playing with the Washington Capitals and other NHL teams. We wanted to kind of just talk a little bit about your background leading up to your time at the NHL, like where you grew up in your youth hockey experience and the road that got you to where you are or you got to in the NHL.
It's funny, Harry, without the internet, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, playing in New York, born in New Jersey, you really, without the internet, you never realized who the good players were. So it was just about having fun, getting to the local rink. One of the issues that we had, that I had as a child was, you know, I lived in New York State, but the closest rink was probably about an hour away for competitive hockey besides West Point. And West Point was mostly used just for the colonels and, you know, people that were a part of the military community. So one of the hard parts was getting to this rink. So my parents, just like my dad and mom, just like a lot of other hockey parents today, had to make a tough decision to dive into the sport of hockey. And they did, and definitely I'd like to thank them for that opportunity and allowing me to, you know, participate and play this great game.
And so from New York, you went to the University of Michigan. How does a New York kid end up there?
To boarding school because of the lack of hockey that around. I went to Hotchkiss School in Northwest Connecticut, where I also went back to coach later at a rival at Kent School, and they play in the New England Prep League. But when I was coming out of Hotchkiss, you know, a lot of the trend is, hey, you stay in the East, you go to BC, BU. You know, being a Michigan football fan growing up as a kid, my dad kind of just threw it out there and said, hey, why don't you, if Michigan and Wisconsin and some of these great Big Ten schools are recruiting you, why don't you just go out and take a look? You know, see what it's like. So luckily I was, you know, privileged enough to be recruited by those schools. And they said, hey, we'll fly you out. So my dad's like, okay, pick one. Well, I like Michigan football, so let's go out and visit the University of Michigan. And I went out on my visit, and I fell in love. It was a great academic institution as well as a place that I could, you know, also keep working and strive to hopefully become a pro hockey player. So I went out on my visit and fell in love and ended up being a Wolverine for 4 years.
Well, I also understand that you were also kind of busy on the baseball diamond. That's amazing to have that much time and talent to be able to play two varsity sports at such a great institution.
You know, Harry, for me it was about something I did my whole life, you know, and that's the one thing with the ADM that I love is it encourages athleticism. And, you know, so many kids today are just so focused on, you know, hockey or baseball or soccer. You see it in a lot of sports. And the kids get burned out, they get tired. For me, I was having fun. I would run from literally, and Red Berenson was, you know, happy as can be once hockey was over to say, hey, go play baseball. And I was lucky enough to play with guys like J.J. Putz and Kelly Dransfeld and some guys that have played in the major leagues. You know, Lance Parrish's son. You know, there were a lot of great ball players that came out of Michigan. But it was always fun. The day after we win the national championship or play in the Final Four, I'd pick up my glove the next day and go start throwing and running. And it was just kind of what I did as a young kid, and I missed it when I turned pro. One of the things that I missed is going out and being able to pitch and kind of change gears for a little bit. It was a wonderful mental break for me as well as physical.
That's exactly what my next question was going to be. Can you talk about the, you know, that leaving the rink and it's cold and it's, you know, it's inside and all of a sudden, next thing you know, voila, you're out there in the nice green grass and sun is shining.
Yep.
It must be a nice break.
It's wonderful. I don't know if you call Michigan the optimal baseball weather, but it definitely was a wonderful break. And I think it also gave me, you know, a little bit of kept my athleticism. I always tell the story that once I became a pro hockey player, I had to really work on tipping pucks. But while I was still playing baseball at Michigan, I could tip them on my backhand, my forehand, high, low. And I think some of that hand-eye came from still playing baseball all the way through as a kid. And also I played basketball and lots of other sports. But as I got older, I just concentrated on baseball and hockey. And I think that was a key aspect to my success as a hockey player.
And then after Michigan, was it a tough decision for you to decide whether to follow the path of baseball or hockey, or was hockey definitely at the forefront?
You know, you always wonder when your hockey career is done at, 29 years old and playing in the American League and the NHL, you wonder if you could always have played. And the one thing I had, luckily, was a gift of an arm, and I was lucky enough to play through college. But I would never regret my decision to play hockey. It's just too great a sport, and, you know, it's a sport for great competitors, and that's one thing that I loved in hockey. The team aspect was always very special.
And can you talk just a little bit about your time in pro hockey? Like I said, we mentioned at the beginning, you know, I know you played with the Caps. I believe you were with the Bruins. Can you talk a little bit about your career?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I really learned from and took away from pro hockey is, you know, you really have to keep working. You have to keep working. You know, I played a lot of American Hockey League games, but was lucky enough to also play in Florida and Boston and Washington. And I think the number one thing that I took away from this is the different friendships. You know, when you're moving around the different organizations, it's hockey's a big family. And now that I'm back in the ADM position, you know, I'm running into guys and that I played with, coaches that coached me along the way. And there's always a bond that you'll have with these guys that you've either played with or seen along the way.
You know, Matt, that brings up a good question is, you know, the ADM regional managers, I mean, every one of them is just so talented and so experienced and passionate about the game and all come from, you know, incredible backgrounds. How does, you know, the fact that, you know, that you played in the NHL, how does that help you when you hit the road in trying to talk to parents? I mean, does that give you a little bit of extra, I don't know, street cred, for lack of a better term?
I would hope it does, but it's also, I think, you know, the one thing that's great is I've learned so much, Harry, in just these 3 months that I, you know, even as a pro hockey player who's played in Germany and Europe and, you know, played in the NHL, the American League, and all through the top levels of USA Hockey with the World Junior team and, you know, the World Championship team, which were special experience. But I've learned so much about development just through my 3 months with the American development model. But I think it definitely, when people look at you, they see the National Hockey League. But I've learned so much from Bob Mancini and Joe Doyle and, you know, all these other ADM regional managers because they've been on the road. And, you know, I think in the end it's about listening to the concerns and what's going on with the, you know, the people on the ground that are going through the youth hockey experiences. And, you know, I think I'll even learn more as I get out and, you know, start interacting more with the people that are going through some of these experiences that I had, you know, 25, 30 years ago as a youth player myself. But obviously the landscape has changed a little bit, and it's a matter of getting back into the flow and kind of understanding, you know, what the different problems are in each area. You know, the state of New Jersey is going to have different problems than Buffalo. You know, I helped run a small youth organization in Kent, Connecticut when I was coaching at Kent School, and we were ice rich and kid poor. We just didn't have enough kids in the town, but we had all the ice we could want. I mean, there are some organizations that would love to have that problem. Just too much ice and not enough kids to fill it. So, you know, each organization is going to have its individual problems, and, you know, my job is to go out and, you know, help these organizations develop hockey players to the best of their ability.
You know, that's a great point that you bring up about, you know, going out and listening to the concerns of parents and who are out there and maybe have questions about the American development model and what it means for their kid. You also have a child who's in that prime age, right? He's 8 years old?
Yeah, my son's in 05 right now. So he's a last year mite, and, you know, it's fun to go through the process with him. And, you know, as you said, it's all about a learning experience. I mean, I never claim to have all the answers. I think the more experience I get, and now that I'm going through it with him, I think I can relate to, you know, a lot of the people that are out there and are dealing with some of the issues that they are within their particular organization or with their son or daughter. My daughter is also 5 years old, and she's just starting. And, you know, I've been in touch with Michelle Amidon, you know, over the last couple of months trying to figure out how we can help youth hockey and women's hockey grow in the Albany kind of Saratoga area. Albany for a long time has produced a lot of players, and, you know, they have great programs like RPI and Union. RPI is a wonderful women's program. And, you know, my daughter's organization has 5 women hockey players, and I would love to see that number grow. And, you know, it's kind of been a new project of mine over the last couple of months.
You know, Matt, you, as we wrap this up, I just wanted to get some of your thoughts on, like you said, you've helped work at the grassroots level with the local program when you were working at Kent School, and you obviously have a son and a daughter involved in the game, and obviously we've touched upon your rich experience in the game. Is there anything about, since coming on board with the American Development Model, something that has really, one or two things that have really opened your eyes to the whole development process?
I think that, you know, as far as age-appropriate training, you know, not being a chronological age, but more of a biological. Every kid develops differently. And for me, even at Kent School, to see high school kids, I mean, majority of my time and my coaching, my 8 years, I worked with 14 to 19, 20-year-old kids. And, you know, every kid, it was funny, they would come back in the summer and you would see all of a sudden they'd be 4 or 5 inches taller and their voice would be lower. And, you know, they were shaving. You know, so this stuff happens even at younger ages where kids are developing differently. And, it, you know, there may be a kid who's 14, 15 and almost fully developed. There might be a kid not until he's 20 years old reaching that period. And so I think it's key to not be in a rush. You know, let the process take its course, do the right things, get the right coaching. You know, but there's a lot of great information in the American Development Model, and all of it's available at, you know, ADM Kids, the USA Hockey website. And, you know, I hope the people out there go out and use those resources because they're based off of science. They're based off a ton of research. And I'll tell you what, I'm really excited that, you know, I'm a part of the USA Hockey ADM crew. And, you know, I look forward to touching, hopefully, a lot of hockey lives out there in the New York and Atlantic district.
Well, I can tell you that I know that USA Hockey and the Atlantic and the New York districts are lucky to have somebody like you who not only has the background you do, but also the passion for the game. We wish you good luck with the job as you really dive into the new hockey season, and hope you'll come back and join us again on another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.
I definitely will. Thanks, Harry, for the great job you do.
Great. Well, thanks, and thanks, everybody, for listening, and tune in again next time.